Have a Bible study Tuesday night, 7:30 on Zoom as usual. It was carrying on with our study of Galatians, so please come along and join us. We have a fabulous time. Wednesday, coffee morning, 10 a.m. in the church. Wednesday night, there's a deacon's meeting here at 7:30 in the church. So deacons, please remember that and remind me because I might forget. And this afternoon we have our trip to Lamport Railway, so for those of you that are coming, I think all lifts have been arranged where necessary, so we're going on the 3 o'clock train ride and they have reserved a carriage for us, so we'll meet on the platform at 2:45. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for your welcome today. It's good to be with you again, and we come into God's house to worship Him. And I've got a responsive call to worship today. So I'm going to say the words in bold, and you respond with the words in italic. Set aside your defences. Set aside your preconceptions. Set aside your prejudices. So let us sing our first song as we are gathered. So, who are you? You've probably seen that program on the television of Who Do You Think You Are, where people sort of investigate their family tree. I don't know if anybody here has investigated their family tree and discovered you're related to Ethelred the Unready or somebody or other. My brother investigated our family tree, and he found that where our family lived is mentioned in Dickens. It's mentioned as the worst slum in London. But we can go through a family tree and we can try and sort out who we are. And most of us actually do want to know a bit about who we are, who were our ancestors and forebears. Lots of people do, don't they? But who are you? Then we can say, well, who are your friends and family? You know, we could draw a diagram up, couldn't we, of who are your friends and family? We can put our people in and we can put links in and say, well, I'm related to this person and I know this person, I'm a friend with this person because of this and because of that. And then in church we talk about cords that bind us together, don't we? Bind us together, Lord. Okay. Have you ever been bound together in church? Well, you are today. Well, not quite bound. It probably wouldn't be right to sort of tie a knot round everybody's wrist and everything else. But can you sort of hold the sort of that and then sort of pass that on round to other people? And then got one here. So if you can sort of do. I won't do it to the musicians because it might be difficult when I ask you to play them. Yep. Okay. So, you know, keep plenty of that, and if we should have a fire in the middle of this, just drop your cords and. I need to be careful here, don't I, that I don't trip myself up. And we, okay.
Last time I saw a vine,
okay.
It was the wedding.
So
we're now married.
I could sort of do that in the middle, couldn't I, to... Yeah. So just put that down there for the moment. But you know, we talk about cords binding us together and relationships, and in church we're all done with. But our relationships, it's quite easy, isn't it, for things to happen, and all of a sudden you're not connected anymore. Sorry about that. Leave you, no, really, you're on your own. And we can do that, can't we? But actually, this does happen in our families, even in church. It happens, doesn't it? Can I have the end again? One at that end again, and that, and we can sort of come back together again, and people can talk to each other, and they can understand why things got separated, and we can be linked back together again, and you know, it's easy about all things like that. But we talk in the Bible, Psalm 34 verse 3 says, let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. Let's just pray for a moment. Oh Lord, we thank you that in our Christian fellowship we are bound together by cords. The physical cords that we've got here at the moment sort of represent that which is binding us together. And we thank you, Lord, that we should never forget that. But we also thank you, Lord, that we are able to come together and be joined in your spirit. And when we have fractured relationships, they can be repaired by you. And I've got a prayer again on the screen. Let our voices join. Let our minds join. Let our hearts join. Let our spirits join. Amen. And we're going to sing now, Bind Us Together. I suggest you remain seated while we sing. Sing this, and while we're singing it, let's sort of hold on to the cords which are binding us together. Did we have any readers? Did you organise any Bible readers for me?
No.
Okay. Stephanie? Elijah.
Verses 4 to 12. Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of the tree and wished he could die. "It's too much, Lord," he prayed. "Take away my life. I might as well be dead." He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Wake up and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank and lay down again. The Lord's angel returned and woke him up a second time, saying, "Get up and eat, or the trip will be too much for you." Elijah got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to Sinai, the holy mountain. There he went in a cave to spend the night. Suddenly, the Lord spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I've always served you, you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down the altars and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing. And then there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper of a voice. Thanks be to God for his word.
So that reading reminds us that being God's people doesn't mean automatically that we remain together in him. The people of Israel had fractured away, and Elijah felt he was the only one left. Have you ever felt that in situations you're the only one left who's striving to achieve the goals, the objectives? Elijah felt that. He'd been called to go on a journey, and he walked and rested and walked, and he slept and he woke up. And then in that bit he says he ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to Sinai, the holy mountain. A 40 day trek on one meal, that's a pretty fulfilling meal, but reminds us again that God gives us the strength to do the tasks that he's called us to do. And then at the end of that passage, we hear that bit we've often heard before about Elijah standing there and the Lord sending earthquake, wind and fire, and then discovering that actually God was in the still, small voice that we need to listen for. We're not going to sing "Be Still," which you might think is the next obvious one. But we're going to sing "As the Deer Pants for the Water," reminding us that We need that nourishment from the Holy Spirit in order to achieve what God is calling us to do, as the deer pants for the water. Our next reading is from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 41. The people started grumbling about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "This man is Jesus, son of Joseph, isn't he? We know his father and mother. How then does he now say he came down from heaven?" Jesus answered, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. People cannot come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and I will raise them to life on that last day. The prophets wrote," he continued, "everyone will be taught by God. Anyone who hears the Father and learns from him comes to me. This does not mean that anyone has seen the Father. He who is from God is the only one who has seen the Father. I am telling you the truth. He who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. But the bread that comes down from heaven is of such a kind that whoever eats it will not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. The bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I give you so that the world may live." Let us pray. Father, we confess that we have strayed from your peaceful pastures, strayed from your divine word, strayed from your righteous justice, strayed from your soothing love, strayed from your abundant gifts. Father, we confess that we have strayed from your peaceful pastures. We pray that you will lead us home. We pray for a renewed sense of our being one in Christ, and for a deeper sense of our belonging together and to each other. For a new joy in the people of in being the people of God, and a fresh delight in each other's fellowship. May our life together bring glory to God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new desire to help care for and support each other, and a new readiness to give encouragement and thanks for all that we receive through our fellowship in Christ, for a new joy in accepting and affirming even those with whom we disagree. May our fellowship in Christ bring hope to our neighbour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new acceptance of others' worship, and a new openness to share in each other's praise, for a new willingness to listen to each other's witness to the truth, and for a new ability to break out of our prejudiced positions and to break down all the walls that divide. May the love of Christ bind us together. We pray for a new sharing of each other's pain and sorrows, a new listening to each other's doubts and fears, a new desire to accept and affirm every member, and a new welcome for all who feel they are strangers. We ask to be set free from any sense of righteousness and from anything that would hinder the declaration of the good news. May the power of the Holy Spirit make us new. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that can live with diversity and with the tensions caused by those we think are different. For a church that can welcome all those with different hopes and fears, different visions and dreams, different words and ways, different songs and prayers, who are of different colour and from different nations. We ask for God's grace to blend them into one body in Christ. May our oneness in Christ bring glory to God. We pray for a church that will not be afraid of standing for the truth, and for a church that will always be seeking new words and new ways of making the gospel known. We pray for a church that never settles for second best, that is always committed to declaring the forgiveness of sin and new life in Christ. May the joy of Christ flood into every part of our life together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that is concerned for those who are lonely and rejected, and reaches out to those who are bitter and lost, for those whose lives are filled with sadness and sorrow, and for those who feel defeated and of no value. For a church concerned for the hungry and starving, and the needs of a nation that has lost its way and has forgotten to trust in God. May the power of the Spirit give us wisdom. We pray for a church that declares the good news for the poor in body, mind and spirit, a church that gives high priority to prayer and outreach, to mission and service, for the gifts and fruits of the Spirit, for a church that declares Christ as Saviour and Lord, and places him and his kingdom at the heart of all that it says and does. May the Spirit set us free for Christ. We pray for ourselves and our longing to be open to the work of the Spirit, and to allow him to change all that we say and do in Christ's name. We ask for freedom and joy in our witness, and for a deeper experience of walking with Christ, for a peace and a courage and a hope that lead others to a knowledge of Christ as Lord. May the Holy Spirit use us in ways we never expected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I'm now going to ask us to listen to a piece of music and think about those that we should in our hearts be praying for today, those who are known to us. And we're the start of it has a link. You may have noticed that I tend to use nautical references if you've been coming when I've preached before. And the start of this just links us back to those thoughts that we've had in the past of rough seas and lifeboats and all the rest of it. Thank you. O Lord, as we listen to the music that reminds us that life is a journey that we can travel with you, a journey that we can travel with each other, a journey where we can care and uplift each other. O Lord, we just pray that you will accept all our prayers this morning, spoken and unspoken, as we bring them to you, and we ask that in Jesus' name they may be answered. Amen. So, we've spoken about who you are, where you're going, and that's the end one. We want the first one, first picture of that's the one, first picture of the passport. If we're going to go somewhere, we need a passport quite often, don't we, to show who we are, where we're going. There is a story that somebody was in the passport office queuing for a passport, and the queue was long and they were hot and bothered, and the queue seemed to be moving slowly, And then as they got to the counter, somebody put a notice. There it said, "Be grateful you have somewhere to go." Be grateful you have somewhere to go. In life, as I said, we've got a journey. We need to be grateful about where we are going, where we have been. There are amusing things sometimes, aren't there, on people's gravestones. They've got a list of epitaphs now. On the 22nd of June, Jonathan Fiddle went out of tune. "Now will you believe I was sick? Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Here lies Johnny Yeast, pardon me for not rising." And then maybe two more serious in nature. "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go." And then, "Dying is but going home." What might the epitaph be put on your gravestone? Who are you? What is your journey? On our journeys, you ever got lost? Stephanie was telling me she took our granddaughter to Castle Ashby, and she went into the forest at Castle Ashby. She's walking around and she got totally lost. She was lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed, disorientated and bewildered. Eventually she found her way out. She's sitting at the back, so she must have done, wasn't she? But do you feel that about your journey in life at times? You know, where are you going? I'm confused and I'm sure, should I go that? On coming to from Northampton to Kettering today, we got to, came off the A-what's-it and came down towards Kettering, and we came to a sign that said, "Road ahead closed, diverted traffic, everybody turn left." And we turned left. And Stephanie said, "Do you know where you're going?" "I know, I'm following the diversion signs." And she said, "It doesn't say where the road is closed." When we were on holiday in Devon, we were going to a pub for Sunday lunch. And we knew it was about, well, we'd been there but down that way before. We knew it was half an hour away from where we were staying. So we sort of left at about 25 minutes to go. You know, when you're on holiday, you always tend to be a little late. And we got down to the road to go down, and it said, "Road ahead closed at Steelworks. No access beyond the Steelworks." And we thought, I haven't got a clue whether the Steelworks is before or after where we want to go. Might be okay for the locals telling them it's closed at the Steelworks, but for visitors and tourists, it's a pretty useless statement, isn't it? And I said to her, "We're going to have to go, turn around, we're going to have to go all the way through Biddeford, around to Barnstable, and come back up the other way." And so we started the journey, and I said, "You better ring the restaurant to tell them we're going to be a bit late." So she did, and they said, "Don't worry about it," sort of. And we ended up there. Actually, we only ended up about 15 minutes late at the restaurant on the way. But we were unclear, we were confused. We were perplexed. We didn't know whether we were going to get there in time. Our journey through life is so often like that, isn't it? But then in our reading today, Jesus is telling us that we have got a destination. And in another passage, he tells us that he is the way, the truth, the life. I am, he says these things. And in the passage we read today, he said, I am the person who, if you believe in, you will have a destination. And you know your destination. And Jesus' ministry to his disciples when he was on this earth was quite a lot. He had stories about, this is where you are going. I'm going to show you the way. The only way to get there is to follow me. And I will be with you every step of the way, he said, didn't he? So we can take what Jesus tells us as the way to go. But do you have the passport to go where Jesus wants us to go? Next slide, that's it. Do you have your passport to eternal life? Passport, the citizen of the kingdom of God. We're all talking about these days, aren't we? Everything seems to be about immigration and asylum and should or shouldn't there. Have you ever thought how different being a citizen of the kingdom of God is than becoming a citizen of anywhere on this world? If you want to become a citizen of this country when you weren't born here, when it's sort of automatic, if you immigrate into a country and you want to become a citizen, it takes about 10 years or so. You have to sort of go through all sorts of steps and hurdles and take an exam to prove that you know about British culture. And when we've seen some of the questions in the exam, some of us here wouldn't be able to answer them. And then when we've sort of got through these steps, we're sort of given leave to remain. And our foreign passport is stamped with a stamp that says we've got leave to remain and leave to work. And if you want to get a job, we have to show them this passport with that thing. And after we've been here a bit longer, we can get a stamp in our passport, or they can get a stamp in the passport which says indefinite leave to remain. And then when you've got that, you can apply for citizenship. And finally you get, can be made a citizen of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, and you get that passport. Getting your citizenship of the kingdom of God is completely the reverse process. Jesus said, he who believes in me has eternal life. All you need to do to get your citizenship of God passport is to believe in Jesus. And once you have that belief, you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And Jesus and the New Testament and the Bible makes it very clear that we come as we are now, and when we express that belief, the first thing we get is given our citizenship. It's not the last thing, it's the first thing. And then Jesus said, as you believe in me, the Spirit will work in your life, and you will learn more about being a citizen of the kingdom of God. You will understand more. But You don't need to have passed all those exams and tests and everything. You don't need to get a university degree in theology or anything else. All you need to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is our Lord and Master, and we have that citizenship straight away. The other thing, of course, is that what happens if you lose your passport? Well, the airline, they won't let you get on the plane. The boat, they won't let you get on the boat. Because most countries now, if they take you without a passport and take you to the other end, and certainly if you come into the United Kingdom and you haven't got a passport when you arrive here, the people who transported you, the airline, the shipping company, they get an immediate £2,000 fine just for the fact of you presenting without a passport. If you lose that bit of paper, you're snookered. But actually, although I've got a diagram there, passport, citizens of the kingdom of God, you don't need that bit of paper. You know, when we get to the holy gates, Peter doesn't say, "Where's your passport?" "Oh, you've lost it, have you? Go over there and wait to be interviewed. Prove that you are who you say you are." Now, entry into our Father's house is by biometric recognition. Namely, Jesus recognizes you and says, "Come on in." We don't need any paperwork. All we need is to be recognized by Christ. And all we need to be recognized by Christ is to believe. It's a pretty strange thing, isn't it? That doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't be doing things in this world for Christ. Because part of our belief, part of our thing is that we're told to trust and obey, to do what God is calling us to do. But our citizenship of the kingdom of God isn't a reward for services rendered. No. The citizenship of the kingdom of God is given because we believe in Christ. So, if you believe, then be grateful that you are going to the Father's house in heaven, where your place is already reserved there. So, those calls that bound us together at the start and the identification and everything else, that's all an extra. An important extra, yes. You know, Stephanie and I are going on a cruise in a couple of weeks' time, and we were looking on the website yesterday, and it has that bit called extras, doesn't it? You know, ranging from, would you like parking at the dock? Would you like a night in a special restaurant at $85 extra? Would you like a massage in the spa? All the extras. Well, Jesus says, just believe. Everything else that follows is extra. But we don't get rewarded with citizenship because of what we've done. We get rewarded with citizenship as soon as we believe. May God help us understand that we're already qualified for the kingdom of God. We're already citizens if we believe in Christ. And we're going to sing now our final song. Stephanie once told me she wanted this sung at her funeral, but she's sort of worried about that now, she says, because I'm embarrassing her terribly today, you know. But she's worried about that because she said, I'm not sure whether the people who come to my funeral will be able to sing it as well as it should be sung. So we're going to practice today, so when you come to a funeral, you'll be able to sing it properly, okay? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I... Yeah. But it's, we shall go out with joy. Go in humility, for this is the way of the Lord. Go in peace, for this is the gift of your faith. And let us say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.